Welcome to the Magical Mystery Show. My name is Yara Giantara and I will be your host on the show. In this show, we're going to be talking about all the things magical about life. We're going to be talking about things that make life magical. We're going to talking about the mystical things, the hidden things, the things that we don't quite understand, the things that we're trying to understand, mysticism, magic, magical ways of being. And we're also going to get some fun guests on this show. We're going to be talking to interesting people that are doing fascinating things in this world. The things related to pretty much anything that I find interesting, and I find almost everything interesting. So the focus on this show is going to be like, how can we make our lives better? What does it take to be a happy human being? What does it take to be content, good, you know, at ease in your skin, in your life? And also, like, what does it take to expand as a human being? What are some good ways to get bigger in a way, allow ourselves to be more of who we are? But I'm also fascinated in philosophy and science and innovation. So who knows? Who knows who I'm gonna be talking to and what I'm gonna talk about? Because when I was thinking about this show and creating these shows, and I've known for about a year now that this is going to happen. I was going to start this podcast. And I was always limiting myself. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, it's going to be about astrology. Oh, and it's going to be in Icelandic. Yeah, because people like that. People are interested in astrology. And there's lots of people in Iceland that maybe know me. And they might be interested in learning about it from me. But, you know, it felt confining because I'm not only interested in astrology. And okay, let's talk a little bit about me. I am, at the moment, I am working as an astrologer and a musical composer of music. And I do see clients, private clients, and look at their natal chart, their astrological chart. But I also work as a yoga teacher and meditation teacher. And I also teach the mystical arts. I've been teaching people about their energy, how to work with their energy field, and also astrology. And I am opening the Magical Mystery School, which is going to be a place where you can learn about all the things mystical that you might be interested in. But that's me now. And me in my life, I've been so many things. I'm always changing because I just follow my heart. I follow my intuition and go where I'm drawn to be. But there's always been this main theme in my life, which is music and art and then all things mystical. And philosophy. I studied philosophy in university. That was the only thing in university that made any sense for me to study, even though for a while I was thinking about becoming a doctor. I didn't do that because I didn't feel like spending 10 more years in school, and I'm happy I didn't. So I chose philosophy and musical composition instead. So that's been my main focus in life mostly. But as I said, like, I'm always changing. And even though this is what I'm doing now, I don't know if it's going to be what I'm doing tomorrow. And I'm also just super fascinated about psychology. Like, why do we think the way we think? Why do we behave the way we behave? What are some tricks and hacks and, you know, ways to kind of alter the mechanism of the human being so life is easier and better? But I'm also fascinated in, you know, innovation and technology. At the moment, as we speak here, it's February of 2023. I'm absolutely fascinated by AI, for example. You know, we're at the cusp of a huge change. I'm absolutely sure of it when it comes to AI. And it's going to transform how we do life. And I'm fascinated in, you know, thinking about where it's going to take us. What's life going to look like 1 year from now, even, you know, 5 years from now? I don't think we can quite grasp, most of us, I don't think we can quite grasp, like, how big this change is going to be. It's going to be maybe the biggest change in how we do life that has happened maybe since the Industrial Revolution. Definitely at least since, you know, we got the internet, but maybe since, you know, the Industrial Revolution. So I think we're at the cusp of something big. But yeah, so, but who am I? Why would you be interested in me? I don't think you should necessarily be interested in me. I'm just another human being. But I will tell you a little bit about myself, just in case you want to know. So I am a woman living in Iceland, and I have two kids, one adult and one that is in kind of preteen. And what else is there about me? So as I said earlier, I've always been fascinated about like how can we be happier? And how can life be easier? How can life be more fun and more joyful? And the reason why I've been interested in that is because I was fucking depressed for like the longest time. I was so unhappy. I was deeply unhappy. You know, it didn't seem to matter whatever I did. There was always this like deep unhappiness inside of me. And so I was like always like trying to figure out, so how do I get rid of this? How can I just like become like happy? How can I become content? And the root of this unhappiness is probably I've been through a lot. I've been through like, I don't want to, you know, talk too much about all of the things I've been through, but like, oh my God, there's so many things that I wish I hadn't, like very traumatic, hard things. Like, I don't want to have to put a trigger warning on this podcast. But I think what I want to talk about, like one of the biggest, the hardest things, you know, one of the hardest things that I've gone through in my life was the year that I lost my brother. So when I was 21, my brother, no, when I was 20, I became pregnant. No, I'm really bad with age and years, sorry. I'm going to start again. So when I was 21, I was a little bit lost. I had just finished mentaskole, which is kind of the equivalence of high school and the first years of college. So I just finished that and I was lost. I didn't know what to do. I wanted to be an artist my whole life, but I didn't feel like I had what it take maybe to do it. I was so anxious and I was so unsure of myself. I didn't believe in myself or my talent, and I was quite lost. And then by accident, kind of, I got pregnant when I was 21. And the same year that I got pregnant, the people started to die around me. So when I was pregnant, there was a friend of mine that died. And then I gave birth to my child, which I thought was a boy. It was the gender that was assigned to him at birth, but and then, you know, she told us later that, no, I'm not the boy. I'm a girl. So I have a girl now. Well, I probably always had. So, yeah, so I had my baby. And then when she was 3 months old, my brother tried to take his life. And then 3 months later, he succeeded. And you can imagine, you know, me and my brother, we were very close. We were, there were 2 years between us, and all my childhood memories, family-related childhood memories, they always had to do with him. So when he died, kind of all of my memories of Christmas, all of my memories of every holiday, my memories of being a child, they were intertwined now with sorrow, with grief. And then that same year that he died, it was in 2001, you know, just a few days after he died, we had like you know, 9/11, and then the whole world started to, you know, went a little bit crazy after that. And then in the same year, there was this one year that I had my child and my brother died. There was also four other people close to me that died, with two friends and my then partner's grandfather, which I really loved, was a very kind and gentle man. And yeah, there was, and my uncle died, and there was just like death. Like in the me in the middle of this newborn life as a mother, it was suddenly, instead of being all about life, it was all about death and dying. And that this experience of, you know, it felt like an initiation into death and grieving, and I feel like, because of this experience, I have never been able or wanting to settle. Like, I decided, like, no matter what, I'm gonna find a way to live life exactly as I want to live it. I'm gonna find a way to just be happy, love my life, and only be doing things that I love. And that took a while, because, like, if we go back to, it was in 2001, then we hardly had the internet, you know, we didn't have social media at all, and we did have the internet, but it was kind of, not everybody was using it, and we had, like, just, like, a tiny fraction of the knowledge that we have available to us now. We just had a tiny fraction of that at the time. And so all this information that we have now about how to deal with anxiety, or even what anxiety is, like how to deal with codependency and what codependency is, all of this information just wasn't there. So it was a lot of digging involved. It was like a lot of digging needed. I really had to, there was trial and error, like trying this way to like make myself feel better. It didn't work. Trying this way, well, maybe it worked a little bit, and then stopped working. So it was like this period of this trial and error that was quite hard. But because of what I had gone through, it wasn't an option for me to just, you know, just get a job somewhere and just like kind of settle, just like settle down, give up my dreams, give up my, you know, hopes. Like that was not an option for me. So I kept going, and I worked so many jobs, like it's a bit crazy. And so whatever you're doing for a job, I might have done that. But then another thing happened is that I didn't have a very solid ground, like to build like a relationship on. So the relationship with the father of my child, we broke up. And I think it was like, in hindsight, it was just too much, like to be dealing with, like at 21, having a baby, my brother dying, everybody else around me dying. I think not many relationships would have survived that, because he was essentially, he's a great guy. It's not, you know, I probably could have made a happy life with him, you know, in hindsight. We're good friends today, and we're not going to be in a relationship ever, so that's not what I'm trying to say. But in hindsight, I'm thinking that we broke up just because, like, the circumstance, it wasn't really, you know, possible for me to continue. But then, oh my God, then I went into a couple of relationships that were really hard. It was like, there was so much abuse. There was mental abuse, there was physical abuse, there was, it was just a very violent time in my life. And I have thought, like, if I would have wanted to not live through this, and what I have found to be true for me now is that, you know, I'm happy. Eventually now, I'm maybe not, you know, it, there was parts of it that I definitely would, you know, would have been nice not to have to go through. But now at the other end of it, it has taught me so much. And because of having gone through that, I just like have so much compassion for others, because I also know what it's like to be in so many shoes. I've tried on so many. So doing what I'm doing now, I think it makes me so much more capable of actually being of service, of actually being capable of helping on this planet that I'm living on. But yeah, so I went through this, like, I would say most of my 20s, it was like a crazy, turbulent time. It was like, there was pain, there was drama, there was abuse, there was like trying to be a good mother in the middle of all of that. And to my kind of amazement, I kind of managed to do that. I don't know. And I think that was another thing that, you know, my stubbornness, because my experience of growing up, there was like a lot of trauma involved, that, you know, a lot of pain that left me with. And my parents are good people, and I am really grateful for having, you know, having chosen them as parents. But they didn't have access to the information that we have today. So there was like a lot of things that they were doing that I never wanted to do as a parent. And what I decided to do when I first caught myself when I was like 21, and I was finding myself like starting to say sentences that I recognized from my childhood. These sentences, they were like on the tip of my tongue. And then I just realized that I could just close my mouth and not say them, and life would be better. And so it was really hard. I mean, it was like really hard. There was like in this moment of transition, and I think it was really hard to stop myself, because it was like one thing that I've seen again and again is that when people have kids, their parents kick in, like in them. And, you know, but if you had a great childhood, perfect, then, you know, you're going to bring that to your child. If you didn't, then you're also going to bring that to your child, unless you know, do some drastic, important work to make sure you don't do that. And I've seen this, you know, with my friends, with my, you know, partners, that I've seen, like, there's this person that I know, and then now they're talking to a child, and there's suddenly a stranger in the room. They're just like saying sentences and words, and I'm like, ah, okay, this is your parent speaking. That's not you anymore. And so, yeah, so when I was like, as I was saying, like, I went through this very turbulent time in my 20s. And so, and all through it, I was also experimenting with being an artist. I made music. I recorded a lot of music, and because of my anxiety, I didn't release a lot of it because I was too afraid to do it. But then in my late 20s, then I started to actually release something and do some work. And in my end of my 20s, beginning of my 30s, I worked with a few directors. So I was working in theater, wrote music for a few plays, and that gradually started to gain me some confidence there as an artist. And so, and that's part of what I do for a living now is make music, which is pretty amazing. But I want to share, like, it was a while back, I was on my way, I was walking to my studio to record score for a movie that I was working on. And when I realized in that moment, I realized I'm actually living a dream. I'm living, you know, the biggest dream that I could imagine for myself some years back. And I think these moments are so important and so magical when you catch yourself, you know, when you catch yourself living the dream that you had. And so that's a big theme, like, in this podcast. I know I'm rambling a lot. A big theme in this podcast and these episodes that are going to be coming forward, that are hopefully not going to be as rambling and as messy. I want to, you know, both share everything that I've learned, but also talk to people and ask them how they did it. Like, because what does it take to create a life that you love? What does it take to create a you that you're super proud of and happy to be? And so these are the, you know, things that I want to explore in this podcast. So this is part of why I'm talking about that now. But yeah, so I did that. I was like starting to be a little bit successful as an artist. I was making a living out of that. But then another thing that has followed me all my life, there's like this need to make art, especially music, has followed me my whole life. But there's also this yearning and search for meaning. Like, that's the reason why I went to philosophy in university. And it's also, I've been reading, you know, books about mysticism since I was a child, really. I've been studying astrology since I was a child, since I found out that astrology existed. I've been studying that. And the tarot, I found tarot cards when I was like, I think 10 or 11, 12 at the most. And I found them in a store, bought them with my own money. I didn't have a lot of money that I called my own, but I used this money to buy these tarot cards. And then, you know, because when I saw them, it felt a little bit like coming home. Astrology also felt a little bit like coming home. And so I started to use these cards and I started to do readings for my friends in school, and I just loved it. But I was always this yearning. I was always looking for something bigger, something meaning to life, essentially, like finding the big answers. And I always had this inkling that there's something more to life than the physical. The physical is not it. It's not the only thing. I did, you know, when I was like younger, I think I first tried yoga when I was around 16, meditation, similar time, 16, 17, maybe 18. As I said, like, I'm not so good with time. And I kind of always had this knowing in myself that, yeah, I'm studying, like, I'm dipping my toes into it now, but I will come to it in a bigger way later in life. This is maybe going to be a bigger focus in my life later. I always had this knowing, and this is where I'm going to be going. And then, you know, I think probably around my Saturn return, a little bit earlier, around my Saturn return. So those of you that don't know, your Saturn return happens when you're around 30, around just before 30, like 29 and a half, somewhere around that time. Then Saturn, the planet Saturn, has gone whole circle around your natal chart and has returned to it, to the same place in the skies as it was when you were born. And the Saturn return is usually a time where we kind of clean up. Like, we realize, like, what in our life is worth keep doing and what isn't. And around my Saturn return is the moment where I stopped being in abusive relationships. I draw the line there. It's like, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I also started to really take my art seriously. So that was around my Saturn return. But then, you know, a few years after doing that, I started to feel like this is not the only thing that I want to do. I want to do something else. So I started to go deeper into mysticism. I started to meditate. I started to explore meditation. I started to, like, because I wanted to find, like, a way to go within myself and understand myself deeply on a deeper level. And I want to find a way to, like, expand my vision, because out of the purely physical, because as I said, I always had this inkling that, yeah, there's something more than that. And so It also happened like at a similar time as I was like starting to take all of this more seriously. I stopped drinking at the same time. It was a little bit later. I stopped drinking alcohol. I drank way too much when I was younger, like way too much. Like, so yeah, I've done that too. So this is yearning. Like all of the trauma that I have suffered, like as a child, as a teenager, I went through like very traumatic things as a teenager too. As I said earlier, like, my life has been a bit crazy. All of the things that I hadn't dealt with, like they kind of came up to the surface, and I came to this place where it was like, I cannot not deal with these things. I have to. And it was like, and it wasn't like a rational thing, not like I'm saying it now. It was like, if I don't deal with it now, I don't know if I can go on, you know. I was kind of there. So I began by starting to see psychologists. I had, you know, on and off sporadically seen like psychiatrists and what's the other... Yeah, psychiatrists and psychologists, whatever. You know, I had sporadically seen these people and they never did anything for me. Like, talk therapy didn't do anything for me. Because when you have, like, deep PTSD and, like, complex PTSD, which if you don't... If you don't know what complex PTSD, I will definitely do an episode on that sometimes. But so talk therapy didn't really do anything for me. So I was desperate. I was doing meditation, I was doing yoga, I was doing Kundalini yoga. All of these things were doing something for me, but the desperation was really great. It was like, I was kind of impossible. So what I did, I'm trying to think about what the timeline was. Eventually I came to this point where, like, I have to do something urgently. I found one psychiatrist, went with her for a couple of sessions until I really got to the depth of it. I'm not qualified to deal with you. I have to send you on to somebody else. Went to see that person. She's like, oh, it's too much. I'm not qualified to deal with you. And then she sent me to like this woman. It's amazing. EMDR, a specialist. And she specializes in complex trauma, like complex PTSD. And so I went to her and... In essence, she transformed my life completely in 1.5 to 2 months because she used EMDR, which is a somatic psychotherapy, and just working with her, it was incredible. Like all the things that had been, you know, weighing me down for so long, they just didn't anymore. And it was the feeling was as if finally I could surface. It's like I'd been underwater my whole life, but now, okay, and now I'm reaching the surface and I can see clearly. And around that same time, I experienced for the first time silence, like complete inner silence in the mind. And so sometimes when I'm teaching meditations, when you're teaching meditation, you're mostly focusing on your own normal chatters, normal, you know, your mind is going to be busy, you know, don't mind all that, because for the most part, that's true. But this inner silence is possible too. And it takes work, it takes effort usually, but it is accessible through meditation, through somatic work, through working with like EMDR therapists, any kind of somatic work, you know, tapping also work. Tapping is great too. But if you have like deep trauma, if you have complex PTSD or difficult PTSD, I would definitely see somebody. You're probably not going to get out of it alone. But yeah, then but you know, I felt like I was surfacing finally. But then after feeling good for a while, I had a setback, and I was feeling, I would say, massively afraid of going back to the pain. So what I decided to do was I decided to try ayahuasca, and maybe I'll do a whole episode about ayahuasca. And my experience doing that was, and it's not something that I recommend or don't recommend. It's like your own decision. Like I don't give advice on that. But my experience in ayahuasca was quite magnificent. I feel like I experienced everything. I experienced like all life forms, being all life forms, being a plant, being an animal, being a human, being as huge as the infinite space, being infinitely small. I experienced my own birth in this lifetime. I experienced previous lifetimes. I experienced a lot in this, like, two sessions. There was, like, two sessions with one day in between that I did. And as I said before, like, I don't recommend or don't recommend. It's, like, your decision. It's, like, it's not for me to say, you know, what is good or not good for you. And my experience is not, like, the classical experience. It's you know, some people, you know, go through ayahuasca and nothing happens. And some people take it and they, you know, come traumatized out of it. So, because the practitioner who you go through it with is vitally important. And I would say, because now there's so much ayahuasca everywhere, I would say large part of the people that are doing it have no idea what they're doing. So be super careful if you're going to go down that route. But what was I going to say next? So, okay, I had this amazing experience of, like, you know, complete love, seeing what we are, you know, seeing the infinite light that we humans are, seeing the vastness and bigness and greatness of us. But being who I am, I didn't want to just keep on doing ayahuasca to do that, because I didn't see that as like a palatable road. Because what I also see in people that have been doing a lot of, you know, this plant medicine, you know, whatever, you know, as it's called by many, sometimes I just see talking plants. Like I don't see people anymore. So be careful with that also. But oh yeah, so I had these experiences. But then my next quest was like, okay, great, I've experienced that, but I want to be able to get there sober with just me, nothing extra, no plants, no, you know, nothing, no psychedelics, no teacher, nothing outside of me. Like, I want to be able to get there myself. And so the next journey that I went on after that was I went on a Kundalini yoga teacher training with teachers called Guru Jagat, that is sadly passed away now, Harijivan Guru Jas. And my experience of this teacher training was quite amazing. And using Kundalini yoga practices, I have managed to tip into the same experiences that I had on ayahuasca. So whatever can be said about Kundalini yoga, and especially, you know, after these revelations about Yogi Bhajan, and the cult of Kundalini yoga, that was, in my opinion, there's like obvious cult factors when it comes to Kundalini yoga. It's quite obvious. I trust myself enough to go wherever and not be drawn into a cult, especially at this time in life. But, you know, my experience with Guru Jagat and Harijivan and them and Rama was great. No, there was like, it was only great. It was really, for me personally, there was nothing negative about doing this teacher training with them. It was purely positive. And I will forever be grateful especially Guru Jagat and Harijivan, for this experience that I had because of their teachings. And they, you know, being the teachers that they are and were. But yeah, so Kundalini yoga is something that I I used a lot. And then I'm still in this process of like being able to completely control my experience so that I can tap consciously into this experience that I had in ayahuasca. And I guess my greater quest is enlightenment, like full enlightenment, whatever that means. Will I get there in this lifetime? I mean, one can always hope, and not just hope, but, you know, actively try to get there. And, you know, I'm not there yet. If I ever get there, I might let you know, maybe not. Because gurus are dangerous. I don't want to be your guru. I just want to be somebody that is walking the path with you and sharing what I know. And that's the only thing that I aspire to with this podcast, is to be somebody that you can, that is with you on a journey, that is with you on this path to more joy, more happiness, expansion, to be an inspiration for you, to give yourself the license to experiment with whatever you want to experiment with. And also maybe start to dismantle this box that is materialism, like this Western idea of materialism, that this is, you know, what you see and what you can, you know, look at through the lens of science, that this is all there is. Like, my experiences have taught me and told me and proved to me, to the extent that I don't have any doubt, that this is not all there is. And so this is what this podcast is going to be about. So I'm going to be sharing, you know, all kinds of things that I'm learning, that I'm experimenting with, things that have helped me, things that I'm experimenting with, and I can share with you how it goes. And also, yeah, I'm going to be talking to fun people, interesting people. And yeah, my plan with this podcast is, it's not going to be a precise form. It's not going to be, you know, only interviews or only solo, and it's not going to be just about one thing. It's about the general exploration of being a human being and exploring the magical parts of being a human, exploring the mystical parts of being a human. And I for one see science with a magical lens, so who knows, we might have some very scientific discussions in here as well. I'm going to do my best to do like a weekly podcast. I will see how that goes. If you want to work with me, you can contact me through my Instagram or through my website. And if you're curious to know the things that I do with people, I work as an astrologer, so I do natal chart readings. I can read the book of you to you, help you to understand this, you know, in owner's manual that came with you when you were born. And I also teach yoga, meditation. I'm starting this magical mystery school where I am going to be teaching all kind of, you know, amazing things along with other great teachers, or with great teachers. And I also do private coaching. So if you are like on the cusp of big transformation and you're looking for somebody to work with you, for the moment I'm doing that. I don't know for how long I will do that, but for the moment I'm doing that. And yeah, so if you have listened to this, like, and you liked what you hear, please share it with your friends, subscribe to the podcast, like leave a 50 million billion star review telling, you know, saying what an amazing podcast it is. And by all means, come and say hi to me on social media. Say, come on over at Yaragi Antara on Instagram and say hi. It's my main social media hangout at the moment is Instagram. So thank you so much, and just have a magical, mystical day or night.